from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Jed is, you know, someone who's extremely progressive, forward-thinking, honest with himself about the organization, and he's always been at the forefront of our attempts to change and to modernize. So Cubs are getting the benefit of fresh eyes, so to speak.
President of Baseball Operations for the Chicago Cubs, Jed Hoyer.
My job is, you know, to do what I think is the right thing for, you know, the health of this franchise. And, you know, I want to make sure that we can build, you know, that next great Cubs team.
One of the architects of the 2016 World Series champions, Chicago Cubs.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Jed Hoyer, building and talking Chicago Cubs baseball with Mully and Haw.
Because I have utmost trust in those guys, starting with Jed, of course, from the top.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to get a chance to talk to Jed Hoyer. And, of course, the Cubs boss joins us now. He is the president of baseball operations, and we are delighted to have him now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, aturo.com. Good morning, Jed. How are you?
Good. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, we're doing good. It's always fun to talk to you. I understand you were recently in Japan. What is that like? Is that like just a jet lag? Is that, do you have any recollection of where you are or how quickly you got back, and how bad does that mess with your sleep?
It does. I've gone over a handful of times this year, and I try to go for a pretty short amount of time, because I find that if I go for a short amount of time, my body handles it fine. If I go for a long amount of time, I actually adjust and it's worse. So I do some pretty quick trips over there, but it's worthwhile. I mean, obviously, you know, when I look at the two players we have from Japan right now, and Seiya and Shota, they're a huge part of our team and our future. And you know, hopefully we can continue to build that pipeline. So those trips have been super productive.
Speaking of sleep, did you get any last night? Because after blowing the 3-0 lead, I imagine that would be a restless one for you to take.
Yeah, it was. It was frustrating. You know, our bullpen's been so good for so long, and we really haven't had one of those in a while. And it hurt. You know, it would have been nice to extend the winning streak, and just felt like we had such a great road trip, you know, to get home and, you know, feel like we had a game that was, you know, close to in hand or in control in the first game back home. That was a shame. And, you know, Lopez has been so good for us, you know, since we got him. You know, that was, I don't know, I mean, probably as many runs as he's given up, you know, all year for us. And so it happened. Yeah, it was restless sleep, because he's never liked to give away games late when you feel like you're, like I said, you kind of had that game in control.
And you guys have been phenomenal. I mean, you've been scoring so many runs, and you put together the longest win streak of the year, and it comes to, as you mentioned, an abrupt end. I'm just curious, you know, with all the fighting and all the kind of desperate situations we've seen trying to win, are they going to make trades? Are you going to bring in people? All that stuff. Will this season wind up being a disappointment if you don't get to the playoffs? Did you think you were playoff bound at one point when you were in that 2-week, you know, whatever it was, 8-1 road trip? Or is this just sort of the way things have gone?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, naturally you go into the season and your goal is to make the postseason. We, you know, missed it in such cruel fashion last year, and you know, I feel like our team is stronger this year. So yeah, I think there will be disappointment. That's the goal. It has to be the goal, you know, every year. But I do feel like, you know, we played really poor baseball in May and June. We didn't hit, we didn't play well. And, you know, I do feel like there are some other things within, there are other goals within that, like the larger goal to make the playoffs. That is, we'll be disappointed if that doesn't happen. But at the same time, I want to play well the rest of the season. You know, since the beginning of July, we've been a really good team. I think we're third in baseball during that stretch and, you know, overall record. And I think it's really important to prove that we're not the team that we were in May and June, that happened. We can't do anything about that. But it's really gratifying to watch our offense start swinging the bats. That was really the biggest struggle we had in May and June. And there was a lot of questions about the offense. You know, was last year a fluke? You know, what happened last year? Can we, you know, we were 6 in run scoring. You know, what's happened this year? And it's nice that I think we've answered some of those questions. But hopefully we can just keep fighting. And I love the spirit of the clubhouse and the coaching staff. And it feels like, you know, everyone's pulling the same direction, and hopefully we can just keep playing well.
Jed, hearing that Justin Steele was scratched from his start minutes after losing that game the way the Cubs lost it last night was like a gut punch following a blow to the head. What's wrong with Justin Steele, and how long will he be out?
Unclear. You know, we'll hopefully have some more information in the next day or two about how long it'll be. But, yeah, there's no question that anytime, you know, a guy, you know, has any kind of arm issue, and especially a pitcher as important to us as Justin, obviously it's a concern. And you know, it wasn't like we knew about that. You know, we're trying to manage it and trying to make a decision on it, so we knew going into the game that was going to be the case. And yeah, obviously the result of the game didn't make that night any easier.
I'm confused. Like, it was his last start that you noticed something, right? Is that, and you're saying that you knew?
I was making a point that we obviously knew going into the game that he was going to be scratched. Okay. And so, yeah. Knowing that we were going to scratch him for today and knowing that, you know, obviously the results of the game, David's right. It was certainly it was a restless night knowing those two things had occurred.
The saga of Drew Smyly last week created a lot of conversation because of it got out that he was placed on waivers and he was still pitching for the Cubs, which created a situation that might not have been awkward for him, but it seemed like it was something worth exploring. We have you now to explain it. What was the deal with Drew Smyly, and what were you trying to accomplish by this seemed like maybe getting somebody to take on his salary for the final month of the season, and yet he can still be a big part of this bullpen?
Yeah. You know, the waiver process, the way it works now, it's kind of an unfortunate process because it's supposed to be confidential. A ton of guys go on waivers during that time of year. The great majority of the guys that go on waivers don't get out publicly. And then kind of a random handful do get out publicly. And that always causes a lot of confusion among the fan base, among the players. I wish they would, you know, change the way it works because it sort of isn't helpful. But yeah, you know, we placed them on waivers, you know, and obviously he went through unclaimed, as did, you know, probably hundreds of players, you know, this month. So not something that normally is a topic of discussion, but you know, when it does get out, people will talk about it. And like, very happy to have Drew still on the team. And obviously he's pitched really well for us. And you know, we just did that. And, you know, in the case someone took him, we do have, you know, a number of young, you know, of other young players we could, you know, take a look at the rest of the way. So that was really the logic behind it. Very simple, just like all the other teams do it. For whatever reason, the Drew placement got out on waivers, and so people, you know, started talking about it.
So you mentioned earlier in the season when you guys were struggling a lot more offensively. Obviously, we've seen sort of this revitalization of the offense, and really, Pete Crow Armstrong has been as big a part of it as anyone, and we've had these discussions as to when he'll move up, should he move up, will he move up? What are your thoughts on where he belongs in the lineup? And is it a kind of a living, breathing organism that will be determined over time?
Yeah, you know, I think for the purpose of this season, I think it makes a ton of sense. You know, keep him down at the bottom of the order, you know, take some of the, you know, pressure off him. I think that makes a lot of sense. I'd love nothing more than in the future. I think as he improves his on-base skills and continues to improve as a hitter, like, you want that guy to hit as often as possible because he does really create havoc when he's at the plate. There's no question that he's a guy that, you know, when he's at the plate and when he's on base, it changes the dynamic of the game. And, you know, even last night's game, it was a shame that, you know, we lost the game because I thought his play to be safe at second base was just such an incredible hustle play after getting hit by a pitch and really changed the early part of the game. But yeah, I think, you know, if you look at really the bottom of the order, I would say like one of the biggest changes for us is that when we were struggling, like Dansby was struggling, you know, Pete was struggling, and so was Amaya. And really one of the biggest changes is this feeling like you have nine offensive players now. It feels completely different, you know, that the offense is more of a circle and we can score in any inning. And I think that's really probably been the biggest change. Just, you know, the entire lineup is hitting, and as a result, it feels like, yeah, like I said, any inning we can score runs, and I think that's why we put up some big numbers.
Talking with Cubs president Jed Hoyer, who's here on behalf of Lurie Children's Hospital, ranked the number one children's hospital in Illinois by the U.S. News & World Report, located right here in downtown Chicago at 225 East Chicago Avenue. Jed, we interviewed Jared Banner over the weekend on Inside the Clubhouse, and we talked to him about the expansion of rosters and who might be coming up from Iowa when you did that. Wasn't expecting Miles Mastroboni necessarily understand the versatility, but Jared mentioned Owen Casey as a possibility because of how many at-bats he's had in the minors and because of the kind of season he's had at Iowa. Might we see Owen Casey sooner rather than later this month?
You know, certainly something we've talked about. Obviously, he's had a really good season for us, and he is a guy that's going to go on the 40-man roster this winter. The challenge is just playing time. You know, you want to make sure that when he comes up, he's going to play. You know, having him come up as a bench bat doesn't make a lot of sense. And, you know, the way our roster is constructed, you know, right now, there isn't really, a lot of play, you know, available playing time. And we're trying to make this playoff push right now. And, you know, because of the nature of our early season, we don't have a lot of margin for error with that. So I think that's going to be a factor. But certainly, he's done a lot of really good things in Iowa, opened a lot of eyes, and, you know, he's a big part of our future.
Jed, I'm curious whether it's the Naris move or Smiley, whatever we talk about, is this all related to the luxury tax, and where are you guys at with the luxury tax, and have you sort of just gotten to a point where you understand you're going to be over the luxury tax, or is it close?
Yeah, no, we'll be over. I think that we've known we're going to be over since we signed Cody. You know, when all those discussions were going on, and I guess that was the end of February, there's really no way to sign him to a short deal without going over. You know, if we had done a longer deal, we could have stayed under, but ultimately, like, it didn't make a lot of sense to structure the deal that way. So once we did the Cody deal, we knew we'd be over. So that was months ago. So, you know, certainly, you know, you do some moves late in the season, you might be able to save a little bit of money. But as far as luxury tax goes, that's something we had decided on a long time ago.
Jed, you look at your team, and defensively, it has been impressive. Look at the metrics. Dansby Swanson, I think, is second in fielding percentage among major league shortstops. Ian Happ tied for first in the majors with assists. And the defense has really come on, especially since July 1st. And yet, Isak Paredes has struggled a little bit since coming over from Tampa. That, I don't think, was part of the expectation. Is he pressing in the field as much as he might have been pressing at the plate? Any explanation for his defensive struggles?
Yeah, I think he's actually made some good plays as well. You know, I thought started a really good double play that really helped us the other day. Yep. And I mean, he's made some good plays, but certainly you're right. He's made more errors than usual. And he's more normally more sure-handed and error-free than he is a rangy third baseman. But he normally makes all the plays, and I think that's probably part of it. I mean, I think that whenever you make a midseason trade, you're not exactly sure how that guy is going to react in that particular season. Some guys go to a new place and take off right away, like we saw Castellanos did for us that year. And some guys come in and struggle with a new environment. You just never know. And I do think that there's a natural inclination to press. But I couldn't be more excited that we have him. I think he gives such a professional at bat in the middle of the lineup. I do think he's really sure-handed, and you know, once he gets acclimated, I think he'll, you know, be a really steady third baseman for us. Like I said, he's not going to be, you know, well above average like a guy like Nico or Dansby, but I think he'll make all the plays. And I do think that just like our, you know, obviously last night didn't happen, but you know, our bullpen has stabilized, our defense has stabilized, and it felt like early in the season, you know, we just weren't the defensive team we were last year or they were expecting to be. And it's been nice to watch our defense stabilize over the last couple months. And yeah, I thought last night was a good example. I thought we, you know, other than the Paredes error, I thought, you know, Bush made a couple really good plays. I thought we, you know, we played good defense, and I think that's the kind of team we have to be.
You know, we were talking about Miguel Amaya and him kind of solidifying the catcher position, and then you had Bethancourt get like seven RBI in a game. It's like every time you go and get a veteran catcher, you seem to strike gold. It's pretty extraordinary. Where are you at with what Miguel has done, and has that sort of resolved some of the concerns that maybe you were going to have going into next year?
Yeah, I know he's been really good, and it's a good question of why he struggled the way he did. You know, whether it was pressing because he was, you know, kind of forced into a starting role, and he hadn't done that, or whether it was just, you know, mechanical issues, but. Certainly the way he's played over the last month and a half has been really impressive. The pitchers love throwing to him. I think that, you know, we're always, you know, always going to look for catching depth. You have to. It's such a volatile position, but also an injury prone position where you feel like you can never have enough. So I still think in the off season we'll be actively looking for catching, but I think what, you know, Miguel has done certainly has opened our eyes, and I'll give the coaching staff a ton of credit, you know, with him, that like even during his deepest struggles, they were really bullish on his future, and you know, he's really proven them right.
So when Craig Council was the manager of the Brewers in September, his winning percentage was .580. Overall, it was .520. That was such a good month traditionally that they renamed it Craig Timber in Milwaukee. Jed, what's the biggest reason in Chicago to believe now in Craig Timber when you need it most?
Well, I mean, we had an 18-8 August, so that was pretty impressive of him, you know, as well. I think that, you know, a couple things. I think that you know, I do think that he's very steady throughout the year. You know, I think that that demeanor is real. I think he doesn't get too high and too low. And I think that kind of builds to something that, you know, he's not exhausting everyone by constantly, you know, going up and down and up and down and having the team worried about him being volatile. And then I do think that he's very thoughtful throughout the year about workloads and about, you know, exhausting guys. And it feels like he's always taking the big picture. And it's really impressive. Having worked with a lot of managers, you know, he's not a manager that's, you know, the most important game isn't tonight's game. He's always kind of looking at the big picture. How do we, you know, how do we keep guys rested? How do we think about, you know, this week and next week? And I think that stuff adds up over the course of the year, like there's little coins in the piggy bank over and over. And I think that's part of why is that his teams have been able to peak at the right time is because he's thoughtful in that way, you know, throughout the course of the season, not, you know, trying to overtax guys in the middle of June or July when he realizes he needs them for the whole month. So, you know, certainly my hope is that we can continue that trend, but I can see why it happens. And like I said, he's such a steady influence that I wish fans had the ability to see, you know, the way he interacts on a daily basis. I think they'd be really impressed.
We've seen plenty of Cubs return to town. It's just the nature of what happens when guys leave, and certainly, you know, championship players, et cetera, you had to move on from. I'm just curious, does the Anthony Rizzo return mean more to you than anyone else, just given your relationship with him, the fact you had him in Boston and in San Diego and obviously with the Cubs?
Yeah, I mean, more personally, I think that, you know, as the organization, I feel like, you know, I don't want to sort of rank out Chris and Javi and Riz and all these different guys that have come back. I don't think that's fair, but yeah, personally it does. I mean, I probably assume that in my career, I can't imagine there'll ever be a player that, you know, I'm sort of more connected with in some way than Riz, just given the fact that, I guess, like you said, I was with him in Boston. We, you know, traded for him with the Padres, traded for him back here. And I think he's a fantastic person, and obviously he's had a great career, and I'm excited about it. Honestly, just the way I felt about Javi as well. Like I want him to get that ovation. Those guys deserve it. It was a really special, moment in 16. It was a really special era for those guys. It was a great group, and nothing lasts forever. I think that's, nothing's more true than in professional sports, where, these things, guys move around a little bit. Guys don't stay in the same place forever, but I'm really excited. He's going to get treated the way I know he's going to get treated by the fans. He deserves it. And, it's strange he hasn't been back yet. It feels like that was a few years ago. I'm surprised he hasn't come back yet, but super glad he got off the IL to be able to play against us. And he deserves everything he gets from the fans, that's for sure.
So before I let you go, Jed, here you are, the Cubs, 4 games over 500, 3.5 games out of the final wild card spot, 24 games to go. From your vantage point in your role, is this the easiest time of the year because you can't do as much, or is this the hardest time of the year because you can't do as much?
Yeah, it's a really great question. I mean, in some ways you mentioned it, like I was in Japan last week. You try to use this time to get ready for the off season. You try to use this time to do some staffing things. And I mean, ultimately, your mind isn't racing with different trade things, or, you're a little bit more hemmed in by the roster than usual. So, I think that in some ways, you don't feel like you have as much influence, but it can feel pretty, pretty hard and helpless at times when you feel like you want to, maybe do something to help, and you realize that that's just not that time of year, that you can't make that trade, or you can't really change the roster much. So it's hard. There is that feeling you kind of have to let go. But I do, I'm excited that this team has rebounded the way it has. I think it's, gratifying to watch the offense, hit the way they have. And I feel like, I'm excited about this last 24 games, and hopefully we can continue the kick that we've had, here for a little while and finish strong.
Thanks, Jed. Great stuff. Really appreciate your time.
Right, thanks,
guys.
Jed.
All right, guys. Take care. See you. Bye.
That's Jed Hoyer, the Cubs president of baseball operations.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Always accountable.
Interesting.
Interesting always. Stuff.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
What's wrong with Justin Steele, and how long will he be out?
Unclear. We'll hopefully have some more information in the next day or two about how long it'll be. But yeah, there's no question that anytime a guy has any kind of arm issue, and especially a pitcher as important to us as Justin, obviously it's a concern. And it wasn't like we knew about that. We're trying to manage it and trying to make a decision on it. So we knew going into the game that was going to be the case. And obviously. the result of the game didn't make that night any easier.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 of the Score. Does not sound good.
Wrong answer.
Yeah, that's not a good answer.
Wrong answer.
Well, it's an honest answer. I'm just saying it's the only frustrating answer. Yeah. And Dustin, you noticed that they noticed something with him in his previous start, and they went out and looked at him, right? And it ended up not being a big deal. Let's take a listen to what happened. This is the last time we saw him start.
Craig Counsell out to the mound, and he's got Nick Frangiello with him.
Apparently they saw something that got their attention. He's like, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Okay, so that was August 22nd. That was his last start. 27th, excuse me.
27th, yes.
And that was his last start. And now he's scheduled to go today, but they announced yesterday after the game, not so fast.
They announced it after the game.
After the game.
They knew it before the game.
Jed told us they knew before the game.
And on August 27th, he went five innings.
Yep.
Gave up two earned runs, threw 93 pitches. And so that might have been something that tweaked whatever is ailing him. When the team president comes on, though, and says he's unclear about what's wrong with him and how long he will be out.
That's not good.
It doesn't exactly fill you with optimistic thoughts or feelings.
No.
Especially when you're waiting for the Cubs to go on a surge that they need to go on.
And that's your opening day starter. That's your number one guy.
It's your ace.
That's exactly right.
It's going into Craig Tember without an ace, without your ace.
Well, you still have an ace.
You don't have an ace.
Well, you have, Imanaga has had the best year.
I'm not disputing the numbers.
You're right.
He quibbling was the with lead. That.
Yeah, okay.
Justin Steele, I think, is the guy that is recognized
That's fair.
If there's one game that you want to win, I want him on the mound. Tonight's a game you want to win. I want him on the mound.
Well, and the problem is that tonight's a game where they've got their ace.
Paul Skeens.
Yes.
And I know, Dustin, at the risk of triggering you, Paul Skeens is worth the price of admission, Cub fans. And yes, you fear that because last time they did pretty well against Paul Skeens. Three runs in five innings, right?
I believe he's just a man.
He's just a man. They scored three runs in five innings. I'd take that again.
I've known so many men before. What?
I don't know.
It's a song.
Did you check your account for the strikeouts this time, David?
I didn't. No? I lost too much money falling for that trap last week.
Do both of you owe me a beverage, by the way?
We haven't
all been together
nothing.
Since that game.
Wait, really?
What are you talking about? I owe you nothing.
I owe you my career.
I will double down on that and give you nothing with nothing.
So, wait, Skeens? Well, I was wrong about Skeens' strikeouts.
Well, you pushed it even more. You pushed it higher than it was listed. It was listed at 6.5.
I said 8, and he didn't strike out 8.
And he didn't strike out 8. He struck out 6.
And somebody didn't homer.
I said somebody would homer.
Dansby Swanson didn't homer.
Yeah, you.
I lost enough money last week. I'm not betting tonight.
Yeah, I don't know how I got dragged into this.
Cub fans should not be betting. They should be praying.
We're going to have Brandon go back to the tape.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, like, Brandon, why don't you make up some tape that makes it sound like I owe something to Dustin that I'm not giving?
AI Mully.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, trust me, we can do that.
I do remember it, though, because I had it a part of the open.
Oh, listen
so,
to this guy.
No, I'm just – you. The strikeouts, David, you had 6, and then you had Swanson do the home run. But both of you guys did correctly pick that the Pirates is going to lead, and then the Cubs will come back once Skeens get out. So you guys got that right.
So tonight I have a little less confidence tonight. I don't have a ton of confidence tonight in the Cubs.
Didn't they score like 26 runs after he left the game or something?
11 unanswered.
Aha.
11 unanswered. Yeah. That was the game. The last time Paul Skeens pitched for the Pirates, the Cubs won 14-10.
The last time Skeens went against the Professor.
The Professor didn't get out of the second inning.
He won the game.
He needs to get out of the second inning tonight.
They won the game.
They did win the game, but not because of him. I thought he was on sabbatical. Now he's got to come back. This is a guest lecture. I don't think I can use all the analogies if you want.
Keep going.
Please.
I'm enthralled.
I want to be enthralled tonight in the fourth inning. I don't want to be looking at the Pirates erupted for 5 in the second. I don't have a lot of confidence with Kyle Hendricks facing Paul Skeens. But I think that anything can happen, and he's the Cubs need this. Man. He's just a man. Interesting Jed Hoyer interview, though, because I think that he's right to look at the big picture. He's got to look at the big picture. Mm-hmm. Craig Counsell's value is that he's not going to overreact to last night's loss, internally or publicly. And I think that's the value of having a manager on an even keel. You need that today when the rest of us are flipping out about how the Cubs are 3.5 out and they could have had a game and how deflating it was. And after the game last night, I was hearing, getting texts from Cub fans like, can you believe this? We're done.
Brandon, could you do us a favor and get Dustin a warm cup of water from us as a payoff or whatever?
So Skeens is 6.5 tonight, David. Uh-huh. Again.
Go 8. You show him.
I'd take the over. I'd take the over. Wow, 6.5. That's very tempting.
For a warm glass of water?
That's very tempting.
And a cucumber sandwich?
Forget the coffee. I'm going to FanDuel. 6.5. Did you see Cody Bellinger lately? He's flailing. I think he's an asset to the Cubs. I don't want to pick on Cody Bellinger. I think he looked a little bit lost at a couple plate appearances over the weekend in Washington, and then
we do a hot and not as part of the Fly the W670 podcast, and he and Michael Bush are your two knots right now. It's everybody's hot,
everybody
except
but them.
For those two guys.
Cody Bellinger does not look strong at the plate, so I have him striking out probably twice tonight if he faces Skeens.
That's so mean. Can't he just get a couple strikes on him and then, squeeze up on the bat?
You love the two-strike approach from Cody Bellinger.
Yes. He should take that approach on no strikes.
Well, how about this? Since we're talking about a same-game parlay that they're offering up on favored...
Dustin's trying to corrupt me badly. Okay.
So the Pirates in the first five innings, leading after the first five innings,
yep.
Paul Skeens 7+ strikeouts, O'Neill Cruz to record 2 total bases, mm-hmm. and Nico Horner to get it. And Ian Happ to get a hit.
That's a lot. That's a lot of baseball that has to happen there.
That's plus 767, though.
Yeah. All right. That's a lot.
So bet $10 to win 76 and change.
Okay, I'm not making that bet. I have no idea.
Those are the fun ones. Like, that's the stuff. Ones, I love those same game parlays. That's fun.
I don't know. It's a little much.
You love to throw stuff at the wall and just pray. Is that it?
I mean, O'Neill Cruz playing center field is interesting to me. I thought he was a shortstop, but he's struggled there. Just when he said O'Neill Cruz, I just thought of that. But Dustin's bet, that's a little too far for me.
He makes 17 parlays, and then he comes in and says, I hit 6 of them. Yeah, that's congratulations. Pity you didn't play a 6-team parlay.
Skeens at Wrigley Field in September with the Cubs playing for something. It's appointment radio.
It's not just that. It's the Cubs playing for something with the Yankees and the Dodgers in the offing. You kind of need to get this series, guys.
I'm not really.
You got to beat Skeens.
I'm not capable of looking that far ahead, Mully, okay?
I'm saying you need to win.
Give me that straw. I want to look through it because all I see is Paul Skeens hitting 3 digits tonight.
Beat the Buccos.
Don't worry about the Yankees.
For what?
You're asking Jed Hoyer about Anthony Rizzo. That's like 4 days away. It's a good question, though.
I'm so sorry.
Good answer.
But I should have been more. It's Rizzo. It's his greatest life regret. He's going to trade to get him back.
Well,
no,
it is true, and he did confirm this. I mean, I think the reason you asked the question, he was this special guy to Jed Hoyer.
Yes,
he was one player in his career that he has always wanted to be around and did his best to make that happen.
He was the best of all the Cubs. That's what I heard.
His favorite, perhaps.
No, he was very careful.
I can't think about the Yankees yet if you're a Cub fan, because you just need to get back on track and rationalize in your head.
You're obsessed with Skeens. You got him striking out 8.
I love how you guys make it sound like I'm the only one in town or as a baseball fan that's obsessed or preoccupied with how good Paul Skeens is. Have you been paying attention?
Have you listened to Dustin? He called him just a man. He puts his pants on one leg at a time.
National League Rookie of the Year.
Sometimes he can just jump into his pants, but that has nothing to do with his pitching.
All-Star Game starter. There's a reason. There's legitimate hype. It's like Pittsburgh Caleb Williams.
He's just a man. He puts his pants on the same way we do.
Paul Skeens?
Yeah.
That was not live. That was recorded.
That was recorded. Yeah. That was last week before the 14-10 victory.
He's not a machine either. He's a man.
That was not about Caleb either.
No, that was about someone else.
Anyway, good little diversion tonight. Game week, big day tomorrow for the Bears. Back to the practice
field.
When
are we making all of our selections?
I think Thursday morning.
Thursday, you've probably got to decide who's going to win the divisions and play for the titles. And then
we need a little clarity there, a little direction.
I don't know that we need to.
We did divisions, we do Super Bowls, and we do MVP.
Okay.
That's what you want to do?
I think I want to do that.
So is that clarity. That's two parts of pick six, and then the extra point is your Super Bowl champ probably?
I think that's good. It's a good way to plan it. Show meeting on the air. I think we need to pick the division.
Show meeting on the air.
The Super Bowl and the MVP. And then a separate question could be Bears MVP. Obviously.
We got Friday
to do that. But I think
that could be Friday, right?
Before the games start on Thursday night, the first one. And I think that's going to be a fun one.
Bears Titans score. That'll be a good one Friday.
Absolutely.
Okay. And maybe one last time, your official Bears wins.
Yeah, because
on
I think
things
some
change,
of us
right?
have been known to maybe waffle a bit on the season prediction.
Yeah.
Up until the last minute.
Dustin's been known to predict like 14 wins by the time we get to the eve of the season opener. He starts at 11 or 12, and then
I think he started at 10. I think he's probably up to 12 right now.
What are you up to?
I think I'm right in the 11. I think I'm in the 11 aisle, the 11 lane.
Aisle 11 is a good place to be. I'm still in 9. I mean, I'm not to ruin Friday suspense. But
that's a really good 9-8 would be a winning record.
Arrow up.
When's the last time they won winning season? Was it 2020?
2020, I believe, unless they stuck in at 500. But 2020, I think, was the hollow playoff victory.
That's not winning.
Were they 8-8-1 that year?
Were they?
I don't know.
Did they
I have to look
draw?
Back. That seemed like a long time ago. My goodness.
Yeah. Was that before or after COVID or whatever?
In the midst of. That was post-COVID, but
yeah,
it was kind of.
I don't remember. When was COVID?
The season without the
fans. What day is it?
Fans. Stop.
Where are we?
Stop. See, come on.
No. Just curious. All right. We've got, is it
Dan and Lawrence.
Dan and Lawrence.
Bernstein and Holmes.
Okay. We'll talk to them next. That'll be fun. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.